Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's News Talk Leader.
Well, happy Wednesday to you. It's almost 9 minutes after 9 a.m. here on Wednesday, June 11, 2025. I'm Andy Griffin. Welcome to the show. McCray Hepler will be here in about 20 minutes. And we have Mello hanging with us right now on a Wednesday. What the heck are you doing here on a Wednesday, Mello?
Your days are rough, man. Like, you rise early, and today was an interesting morning for me. I struggled to stay awake, I'm not going to lie.
So Mello may or may not be taking over the whole mornings next week while I'm on vacation. So she came in today and hung out, and you've heard of it, shadowing, right? She kind of watched what I do and was trying to learn on the job, kind of learning and stuff. And that first little half hour, so Mello was not in good shape.
No. She was. I needed a Dr. Pepper, so I was glad you had one.
Yeah, she was halfway between zombie and human at that point. But we got her around, and she's here. I'm glad you're here.
Thank you.
Yeah. Wearing your red day shirt.
Yes.
And hanging out with us, and we have some interesting stuff to talk about before McCray gets here. Mm-hmm. And I outlined what we were going to talk about a little bit, you're like, well, I feel this way, and I'm like, pretty much everything I said, you felt the opposite of me. So this should be an interesting conversation. But one thing we can agree on is the word dumb.
Mm-hmm.
So Spencer Cox, our governor, our fine governor of the state of Utah, every week has a press conference on Tuesdays. And at the press conference, you know, it's not like Joe Biden where he wasn't really there, so they couldn't ask him real questions. Governor, like him or not, Governor Cox was really there and was answering really real questions. And so somebody asked him, what do you think of the way Salt Lake City has come up with some flags to get around the new state? Now, the new bill, I think it was House Bill 74, something like that, just passed, that banned any flags that weren't official flags from being on state property. Mm-hmm. Well, Salt Lake City was like, hey, let's make our own little policy rules and make some Salt Lake City specific special flags. Anyway, they made special flags, including a Sago Lily logo to honor Juneteenth, a Progress Pride flag, and a transgender flag. Because they are official city flags, they're allowed to be on city property, not state property, although I thought they were kind of the same thing. Anyway, they asked Governor Cox about it, and he said, quote, they are dumb flags. And you know what? If he'd have stopped there, I'd have been like, yeah, way to go, Cox. Uh-huh. And then he said, and it was a dumb bill. Mm. So the idea of having a bill that said you can only have official Utah and American flags on government property, he thinks that's dumb as well. If you'll remember, the bill came up last year. It was overwhelmingly passed by the Utah House and Utah Senate. And when it got to his desk, because it was what they call veto-proof, I think if you get 2/3 of the vote,
then the
governor can't veto it. Well, so he couldn't veto it. But he did not sign it, which basically said, I don't approve of this, but there's nothing I can do about it.
Oh, okay.
So, so the bill went through, and on state property, like state buildings, county buildings even, you can only have the American and the Utah flag. But Salt Lake City, because they're special, they got their own special flags.
So what does he think is dumb about the flags if he thinks the bill was dumb to begin with? Just that they had to do that or that their design is dumb? Like, what's dumb?
And by the way, it was House Bill 77, in case you're wondering about the number. He said this, I'm sure they feel great that they got around this dumb law and they did it with dumb flags. And it's just the whole thing's dumb. I mean, he kept using that word.
Wow.
In fact, he concluded his press conference with, we're living in the dumbest timeline.
What?
It's kind of a dumb time to be alive right now, I guess.
Gosh, there's got to be a better synonym for dumb.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe he was afraid of using the word stupid or idiotic or ridiculous or something, but he used dumb over and over again. By the way, he did say one thing that I really liked. He said, quote, we should raise the American flag and let's unify around that, that it's a great flag that represents everyone. One of his points was he's like, look, so we got, you know, these different flags. One of them represents African Americans in Utah. One of them represents transgenders in Utah. He says, so do we need to have a Japanese American flag? Do we need to have a Polynesian American flag? Do we need to have, you know, I mean, all of us are immigrants, you know, somewhere along the line. I have a lot of Dutch heritage. Should we have a Dutch American flag to go up on the Salt Lake City or in this?
No, I see his point. The American flag should unite everybody.
It's everybody.
And everybody should get behind it. American, I agree.
American flag's not for gay or straight or black or white or brown. It's for all of us.
Exactly.
So.
Agreed.
I think he makes a good point there. I just don't know about using the word dumb a lot in press. Now, in press conference. Mello, I've been to, in my lifetime, I've been to hundreds, maybe thousands of press conferences. And people, generally speaking, are careful with their words at press conferences because there's, you know, there's usually 10 people in the room with notebooks. There's usually 10 people in the rooms with voice recorders. And there's usually 4 or 5 people in the room with cameras. And whatever you say can and will be used against you in the court of media law or the media court
public
or whatever.
Opinion, sure.
Yeah, and so to use the word dumb, I don't know. Like you said, you probably could have come up with a better word, but how do you feel about him saying we live in the dumbest timeline right now?
I don't know. I love the movie Idiocracy, so I kind of agree with that.
Idiocracy. I don't. You told me about that one, but I
have
still
the DVD
seen
if
it.
You want to borrow it.
Okay. All right. We're not movie people. Don't watch a lot of movies. I did see though, we made it a point. We actually paid. No, we didn't pay. We had credit. Anyway, we watched Bonhoeffer. Have you seen that one?
Not even heard of it.
It is about a guy who was a German pastor when, Adolf Hitler was making his rise. And he was the lone pastor at first that stood up to the idea. Cause if, I don't know if people knew this, but when Adolf Hitler came to power and was chancellor and you know, was in charge of Germany, he declared that the churches would worship him as a god.
What?
Alongside the God. He declared that, and Bonhoeffer as a pastor was like, no, God is God. There is no one equal to God. And you can't, Adolf Hitler, tell us that we have to worship you. We're not going to do that. Well, obviously, if you can imagine, the Nazis and the Gestapo, they didn't like what he had to say. And he ended up being executed eventually for standing up to Hitler. But great movie. Worth your time. I didn't, like I said, I didn't love who they picked as the lead character, as the Dietrich Bonhoeffer character. I thought the actor was just okay, but the message of the movie and the writing was fantastic.
Nice.
So, partway through the show, he gets up and he gives this in the pulpit, and it's kind of a raised pulpit, and they didn't have microphones back then, right, and everything, but he gets up and gives a speech about how they will never worship Adolf Hitler and that God is God. And it was a good speech, but his bishop of that congregation just basically condemned, you shouldn't have done that, you're so stupid, what do you, and basically the bishop was like acquiescing to Hitler. Later on in the show, this bishop forms an underground seminary and realizes the errors of his way. I thought the character that played his bishop was fantastic, and the whole, we learn more and more about how bad this Adolf Hitler was. I mean, yes, he killed millions of Jews, and that's as bad as it gets, but also he did a lot of really, really bad stuff before that even. And, so it was good to see that there were some Germans who were like, I'm not doing it. And he makes the analogy. I thought this was fantastic. He said, if you got on a bus, and that's what Germany did, they got on the Hitler bus, and the driver of the bus was running down and killing children, wouldn't you, as someone on the bus, have it be your responsibility to try to stop him from doing that? Absolutely. Of course it would. So, and that's what he did, and he unfortunately got hanged for it.
Darn.
So, good movie, though.
Very cool.
Bonhoeffer. It was in theaters. It's now, I know Amazon, that's what we watched. We watched it through Amazon Prime. And we had I don't know, $5 credit, so we got to watch it for free. But it was really cool.
Fun.
So, okay. Again, McCrae will be in here in about 10 or 12 minutes. This next topic, I'm laughing because Mello and I disagree a little bit on this one.
Oh, gosh.
A little bit.
Okay.
The headline is this: surprise, married people aren't miserable. They're America's happiest adults. Marriage is making people happy. In fact, a recent study found that people who are married are 20% happier than people who are single. And I thought that sounds about right, because I love being married. I'm incredibly happy as a married person. But then when I told you about it, you're like, that number's a little high, I think.
I think marriage is a good thing. I think marriage is making people happier. I would argue that it makes men happier than it makes women.
Okay, how so?
Because I think women do a lot of things for men in their relationship. Like around the house, keeping the house clean, getting the groceries, taking care of the kids, doing the laundry.
So men don't do that stuff?
Not as much, I feel. That's my opinion. And I've had two different marriages, so yes, it's been different in each marriage. And I don't want to throw either marriage under the bus. So I think that women do a lot more for their spouse, kind of like take on the mother role a little bit. And so when women aren't married, then their responsibilities are less. And so I would argue that could make you happier.
Okay. All right. I appreciate your perspective. I can't get my mouth to say it, but I disagree with you. You know, well, let's go back to traditional marriage. Before you and I were married, and we're not married to each other, but before we got married, even your first time, let's go back to, say, the 50s and 60s. It was expected the guy would go to work all day, and the mom, the woman, would stay home, do the housework, take care of the children, and do everything necessary to run a household. That was the norm. And it continued that way through the 60s, started to change a little bit in the 60s with the, hippie movement and the Jesus movement and all that stuff. And then it started to change a little bit in the 70s. And by the time the 80s came along, it was pretty well accepted that many women would go to work as well. Sometimes maybe, I mean, that's when Mr. Mom came into popularity. And that's kind of how our household was for quite a while. I was Mr. Mom. I stayed home with the kids from the time AJ was maybe fifth grade on, you know, AJ's my oldest. If you look at the traditional, I what you're saying, yeah, I could see, but don't you think these women were happy in the 50s that were staying home with the kids?
So I had that experience with my first marriage. I was married for 19 years. I had 6 children and I stayed home. I took care of the household. I took care of everything. But on that experience, I also had a spouse who was in the military. So I was alone. So I was doing both the mom and the dad role for the majority of the time. So that was hard. And then he would come home and want to run things his way in his military fashion. And I had like a frat house and it was a great time. So it was like that juxtaposition between the worlds every time we would come home. So it was almost harder for me when he came home to try and like his schedule, because he wanted to know, hey, we're doing this and then we're going to do this. And I'm like, we're just going to go with the flow. So it was harder and I had to maintain everything. And then I had to like pack for all of his trips and I had to make sure all of his laundry was done. And I had to make sure he had the things that he wanted in the fridge. Like it was overwhelming for me then too. And now with my situation.
Well,
now,
wait, before we move on to your current husband, it's worth mentioning that marriage didn't work out, not because of what you were saying, but because this guy was cheating on you. Yeah. So your marriage, I think it could be a little bit jaded in the fact that it ended very badly and not through any fault of your own.
Yeah, no, I mean, I still speak to my ex-husband. We still parent our other children together. Like, I'm still considering him a friend.
By the way, huge kudos to you, because I think if someone cheated on me, not once, but many times, like your husband did, I don't know that I could. I mean, that's amazing that you could still have that kind of relationship with him.
Yeah, yeah. It's.
I don't know how you do it.
Yeah, it's just forgiveness. It's not mine to bear. I don't want to keep that resentment and have that weigh me down. So I just choose to give that to God and let that go. But like with this marriage, I went back to work. I didn't know I was going to be working because he had a landscaping company. I thought he was going to provide, and when I had the baby that I would stay home. But I realized that I wasn't. I was going to go back to work. So then I was like, well, if I'm going to go back to work, I'm going to have to get a career. And so I moved in to the real estate space and was able to provide better there. And now,
and she's kicking butt at it, by the way, I might add.
Yep, Keller Williams. Yes, that's my new company. I'm loving it. So I'm able to work, and then he does some stuff with his brother, and he brings in an income too, but he isn't like at an office from 9 to 5. So he's kind of in the Mr. Mom role, and then I'm the one working. And one thing I will say is it's almost, I don't want to be mean. It's almost easier to be in the dad role, because if there's a birthday party, he has to plan it. He has to get him there. He has to get the birthday gift. He has to plan the party. So he's doing a lot of those things, which mm-hmm. takes that off my plate, which is a little easier. But the stress of providing for a family is real. Like, that's a real thing that's hard to do. And then plus, when I come home, I get to help with the laundry. I get to help with cleaning the house. I get to, you know.
Now, wait. Do you get to help with, or do you do it? Because he doesn't.
Sometimes he'll do it, sometimes he won't. Okay. There's not...
No offense, Jeff. Yeah, we don't want to throw you under the bus.
No. Sometimes he will, and sometimes if I see it needs to be done, then I will do it, right? So I'm not going to just sit on the couch and watch TV. When I get home, I don't watch TV. So just kind of do everything, and then I'm tired. I don't know. It's hard, but I can't say that it would be easier not to be married, because then I would have the childcare issue. I'd have... You know, the lack of support at home. So
let me tell you about a famous guy. You heard of Steve Martin, right?
Mm-hmm.
Steve Martin, the actor, comedian. He was a little bit of an obsessive when he was a younger man. In fact, they tell a story of once he was doing comedy, and he was selling out shows all over the world. I mean, he was a very popular comedian, but he did one show and there was an empty table, eight chairs around a table in this room, this dinner comedy show he was doing, and he freaked out. He could not believe that one of his tables at his show didn't sell out, and so he said he was so angst-ridden and upset. He's that kind of thing bothered him for like a year. He couldn't get over the fact that there was an unsold table at one of his shows. It was amazing to him. And he said that actually eventually drove him from stand-up comedy to actually acting. Remember, he was on Saturday Night Live, and then he was in a whole bunch of movies. Mm-hmm. I think The Jerk was probably his biggest movie, but
Panther, right?
Oh, yeah. He played Inspector Clouseau the second time around after Peter Sellers did it so magnificently the first time around. But anyway, Steve Martin said he realized as he got older, and he is, I think he's 70, no, 60, he's in his late 60s right now. Mm-hmm. He said he realized he had never found happiness. He had money, he had sold out shows, he had hit movies, and he wasn't happy.
Really?
Until a few years ago, he got married at the age of 61.
Really? So he had no children?
They just had a kid.
He's 79.
He's 79. So his kid is 11 years old now.
Oh my gosh.
His kid is 11 years old. He's 79. He has an 11-year-old kid. That's crazy.
That's
I think about
wild.
You thought yours was a oops, late bloomer kid.
Know.
Well, how about this guy? You know, an 11-year-old kid. And
how old is his wife? How old do you think his wife is?
I don't know. I don't have that information.
53.
You want me to guess? Oh, so she's 26 years younger than him?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
But still, that means she had a kid at 40. Yeah.
41.
Wow.
42.
So anyway, but he talks about how he never really could figure out. He said there was always something missing in my life. There was something that I didn't have, and I didn't know what it was until I got married and began to share everything with my spouse. Now, let's talk about financing for a second.
Mm.
finances for a second. Mm-hmm. There in this art, and by the way, a lot of this information I'm getting is from an article on Deseret.com. Called Surprise Married Parents Aren't Miserable, They're America's Happiest Adults. But they talk about that, you're not going to like to hear this, 20% more likely, adults are 20% more likely to get a divorce if they operate their finances separately from their spouse.
Hmm. yeah.
Somebody asked Dave Ramsey once. You know who Dave Ramsey is, right?
A
financial guru guy. We actually have the Ramsey shows on every night here from, I think, 7 o'clock on here on 7 to 11 or 7 to 10 or something like that on KDXU. But they asked Dave Ramsey about somebody called and said, hey, yeah, we need some advice on finance. That's what he does, right? And he said, well, how much do you make? And the guy said his salary, and he said, yeah, but how much do you make? And your family, you and your wife. He goes, oh, well, my wife does her finances separately. I do mine separately. So that doesn't matter. And Dave Ramsey said, it absolutely matters. He said, I don't have an income. My wife doesn't have an income. We have an income together. We combine our money and we have an income together. And that was kind of freaky to
this guy. Yeah.
And I know you do that, right?
Yeah. So in my first marriage, we did have shared financing. I didn't have a job. In this marriage, I have like the main account, and then he gives me money from his job, and then I put it in the family account. And that's kind of how we manage it. And so he has a card for our account, so he does have access to the money, but I manage it.
I've never felt like, so for a lot of years, my wife made more money than me. But, and that could hit, a lot of guys be like, oh man, I can't, oh, that hurts. There's no way. I never had a problem with that. And now I make more money than her. Mm-hmm. And we've always shared our money. We have one account. We are, there's been one bank account for the Griffins for the last 37 years. And I feel good about that. I really do. And maybe if we ever got a divorce or whatever, that could be mm-hmm. really complicated. But right now we're pretty happy with the way things are.
Yeah, I'm glad that works out for you. And I mean, I feel like it's not totally separate because he does have access to the money, and it's not like you can't have any money. It's just
all right.
Separated.
Mm-hmm. Separate, but
equal.
Equal, yeah. All right. We're going to get a commercial break in. McCray Hepler is in to talk about, well, All Points Washington County and what's happening in the latest here in the area. We'll take a break. Be back with more after this. Mello, I think you're taking off, right?
Yes, so, got to run to work.
Thanks for coming on today. Good to talk to you. We'll be right back.
All the latest news, weather, traffic, and sports, just like you like them. You're waking up with the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
And get your hot off the presses McCray Hepler video right here on KDXU. Actually, it's all over the place on social media. McCray is here. Hi, McCray.
How we doing?
Brand new video just dropped within the hour, huh?
Within the minutes.
Within the minutes.
Well, within the hour on certain platforms. But yes, just dropping this morning at Red Cliffs, right around the mall.
Okay, so we've called it the mall.
Yeah,
I mean, you
not
grew
the
up
mall,
here.
But I call it the mall.
I've been here 31.
Sorry,
it was
Corey.
The mall, yeah. Corey asked.
But it is Red Cliffs.
Corey's trying to cure us from calling it the mall, but the Red Cliffs. And we can't even call it the shop at Red Cliffs because that's something different, too. And anyway, right there at Red Cliffs, really, really cool stuff happening. McCray, I haven't seen the video yet because it just came out. Tell us about it.
Yeah, so Red Cliffs, which continues to pivot, shift as malls, you know, the reason why they don't want the mall being called the mall is because malls are dead in 2025, right?
They, all over the country.
Any mall that is still existing and thriving has gone through a complete overhaul, and it's a lot more based on experiences for people. Experiential retail is really what is thriving in today's world, because if it's not an experience and you can just get on your phone and get it from Amazon, it is probably going to be really tough. So
what makes it an experience, then? You talk about experiential retail. What does that mean?
So restaurants, for example, I think is a different form of, yes, malls have always had restaurants.
Yeah.
Our mall didn't really have, they had the food court, and then they had, you know, the Pizza Pie Cafe, and before that, when I was growing up, I remember the Orange Julius. Yeah, I loved the Orange Julius, food court, but it was still a food court, and then you had the corner building out there that we'll talk about, Gobby Grill, but I feel like most malls, in our mall, it was a food court, and food courts are great, but it's not really, you know, this great experience.
It's not a destination place at all. No.
And so a lot of the malls that you see now have some of your bigger brand restaurants or just restaurants in general, right? So, but it not just any restaurant. It's not like a fast food thing or, you know, the restaurants that they're getting are restaurants that are experiences. So the first one I'll talk about is Street Eats, which is going in right next to, in between Chico's and Lululemon on on that plaza, and we'll talk about the plaza
too.
So
not actually inside the mall, but right there.
That new terrace, yes, and the terrace has been part of this reimagination of retail experience, because part of the experience with retail, people want to go shop, but a lot of times they don't. If it's just to go shop, again, you get on your phone.
Yeah.
You order it, right?
You can do it, yeah.
But the mall, Red Cliffs, with the terrace, can provide events and do different things that will draw crowds there, whether mm-hmm. it's a festival or whether it's a concert or anything like that. And then you have these shops and restaurants right around there. So Street Eats has taken over where Kaiseki Sushi was. And phenomenal build out. I mean, it is... to the nines. And Corey and Ashley, who created Street Eats, they were on Sunset, that a lot of people know.
Is it different? Corey Ashby?
Corey LaFranchi.
Different Corey. Okay,
yeah,
different
they right. started Street Eats a couple years ago on Sunset.
Okay.
And that was just kind of the start and kind of where they just wanted, they landed. And the last couple of years have been planning, you know, what is the next move? And this is where it is. And they're turning it into a sit down, a full sit down, full service. They've got a liquor license, so they've got a full bar, a really cool menu that is going to feature. They're still going to feature their burgers, fish tacos, but then they're bringing 17 other items that are a combination of different Seattle street foods. They're all about community, so they're going to have what's called Sunday School that will be different events throughout the week and month where they'll have like game nights, or they'll have, it's really just a community driven place where you want to just go hang out. And that's where I feel like restaurants that thrive are places that it's beyond just the good food. It's where you want to just go hang out, talk and mingle, whatever. And that's the type of experience that you'll get from a Street Eats, right? And then next to it is just being announced, so it's not open yet, where Wanasin was, which was the cinnamon roll place, is going to be Ronnie's Mac and Cheese Bar, which had been rumored at various places around town, and they ended up landing in Red Cliffs, which I've heard is also a great spot. That will be open end of July, early August, somewhere around there is the plan for that. And then the other one that just soft opened this week out on the corner where Hash House was and Buca di Beppo, that I get asked about that place all
Ruby
the time.
Ruby Tuesdays.
Yeah,
way back. Yeah.
It is now Galbi Grill Korean Barbecue. It's a hot pot. Basically, you go in, you create your own plate, and then you go and actually cook it on your table.
Oh, you do it yourself?
Yes. Nice. It's really cool. It's
kind of like Anasazi with the meat, right?
A little bit, yes. Yeah. And you actually do it yourself. It's actually really cool. So I've been telling people, if you go, because people here sometimes just like, because it isn't about the experience, right? It's different. You're going to cook your own food. And so I just tell people, just be open to the experience, right? Because it's not like, don't go in not expecting, you know, don't go in without knowing and then leaving being like, oh, I had to cook my own food. Well, no, it's part of the experience. It's really cool. And that's how authentic Korean barbecue is. And the creators of this are Sakura at Rusty Crab Daddy. Those are their two other restaurants. And this is their third one. They did a phenomenal job. You walk in and feel like they really, really put a lot into the building itself. And I'm excited, really excited to try that one.
That spot, unfortunately, has been kind of unlucky in past years. And I know I, for one, am rooting for someone to, you know, have success and have it be something that will stick around
yes,
a while.
Yes, I get told that a lot. And it's the same with a few other places. There's one place on the boulevard. There's a couple of different places that people are like, man, it just seems cursed. And I've been saying with this one, it took... I'm optimistic about Galbi Grill because it's someone that has built two restaurants here in St. George, very successful. Sakura is one of the most successful, if not most busy restaurants in town. And it needed someone local that knew what they were doing to create something brand new, like Johnny and Gene are doing, mm-hmm. or a very established brand. And I think that they've nailed who it is, and I think they're going to crush it.
I think you're right in that it needed to be different. I don't know. I mean, Hash House of Go-Go was different. Ruby 2, all those were Buca di Beppo were different, but they weren't like, I mean, you don't, it wasn't an experience, I don't think. It was, you know, you went there and the food was good.
Yeah, well, and Hash House, I think, is mostly bad timing. Because in a way, Hash House is an experience. The Twisted Food, it's a different type of food that's not your typical sit-down restaurant. But I think the timing of COVID just ultimately didn't give them any opportunity to really establish a community, right? And that's one thing that Johnny has. Johnny and they've got the community with Sakura, with Rusty Crab Daddy. They've got people that follow them, right? And that's where I feel like they are. That's one of the strengths that they have going into it.
So you're talking about now restaurants that are a little bit higher end price wise. Will that survive in a senior heavy? We're not as senior heavy as we used to be,
St. George.
But there's still a lot of seniors here who I'm not spending $40 for dinner. I'm not spending $50 for dinner.
Right. Well, and that's where these aren't necessarily. So Galbi Grill, yes, Galbi Grill is actually, and I don't know the whole specifics of the menu, but generally it's all you can eat.
Yeah,
and so it is higher priced, and I think it will be probably somewhere in that range. Street Eats is not street, and Street Eats is burgers, tacos. It's just going to be like your any other sit down restaurant price wise, maybe. But I have been telling people, I saw a brisket sandwich being advertised by Arby's the other day for $15, and I'm like, at this point in time, all the food is expensive, more expensive than it was few years ago. Even the fast food places. I mean, I went to Taco Bell for the first time a few weeks ago, and I was, for the first time in a while, I was shocked. And so I'm like, this is, for me, it's all about the experience. Yeah. And when I love eating out. I eat out more frequently than I probably should admit to. Yeah. But we don't like to cook at home. We're working on that. And then with my job, I'm at all these restaurants, right? And I will take a very good experience with very good food and pay a little more all day, every day, then go get some average food for a little bit less. But I understand that there's still the dynamics of being able to afford it, right? I mean, and that's why it's tough for restaurants in 2025, because they have higher costs of labor. They have higher costs of food. They're having to up their prices, and a lot of people right now are strapped because of how expensive life is, right?
Yeah, true.
So that's why, you know, I really try to be of support for the restaurants, because I know how hard it is. I talk to all of them all the time, and I know how hard it is to run a restaurant in 2025. And so I'm excited for these, though, really excited.
By the way, I read a recent survey that said the top three things that make a restaurant successful are price, by the way, price was third. Number one was quality of food. Number two was quality of service. And then price was third.
Interesting. So, yeah. Well, and that's where, like I said, I will take excellent service, excellent experience over for a little bit higher price all day long. And I'm confident in these two. Also confident in Ronnie's. Ronnie's is actually being opened, managed by the same group that did the hot dog on a stick, the 16 Soda and Sweets, which is inside the mall, right outside of Al's, as well as the Sweet 16 store, which is the Nelson family that has the big YouTube following. They've got the 16, the 16 Nelson kids. And anyway, great family, great people. And I'm excited for all three of them. I say the word excited a lot, but I am. I can't wait.
His favorite two words, excited and vertical. Or going vertical. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, I want to talk about your other two videos that are out there in recent times where you kind of went on a road trip.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that when we come back.
Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
Welcome back, 950 on KDXU. McCray and I are both football fans. We were just talking about some of the cool road trips that he's been on and I have not. I've been to almost every high school stadium in Utah, but it pales in comparison to going to Texas Stadium or AT&T or whatever. McCray, thanks for being here today.
Of course. Good times. Good times.
When he was single, he used to road trip a lot. He's not single anymore. He's got kids. But he still road trips occasionally.
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 I still do spontaneous spontaneous trips. They're just not as often. My dad and I went to the Final Four 2 years ago.
Oh, nice.
In New Orleans, and it was a 40-hour trip. We left here at 10 p.m. on a Friday night and got home at 2 p.m. on Sunday. Final Four was Saturday night. It was crazy. Anyway,
sounds fun.
Another day.
Sounds fun. You did a road trip a couple weeks ago.
Yes.
In which you did Hilldale and Kanab, and then that night you went to a Vegas Golden Knights game in Las Vegas. But
that was a crazy day.
Let's start with Hilldale. What should we know about Hilldale? What's happening over there?
So much is happening in Hilldale. That is one of the most beautiful places. The backdrop there is unbelievable.
Agreed.
It is so beautiful. And they've really continued. I did a video there a few years ago when I first kind of learned the direction or the kind of the innovative spirit that they have out there. You know, back in 2015, a lot of people know the history of the Warren Jeffs and everything that happened with that. And in 2015, there was a big flood there, and it really made the city think, okay, like, what are we going to do? Because they weren't able to get any outside help because of the situation. So anyway, flipped it on its head. Ever since then, it's been like, how do we make this place thrive? And part of that is just trying to be innovative in the business community. And so because of how beautiful it is, they've been able to really benefit from hospitality. One of the things I featured was the Water Canyon Winery, which is a winery. They've got a little cafe there called the Winery Cafe. They serve all kinds of great food. They've got a big orchard event space. It's a really cool spot. They just opened up also the Water Canyon RV Park. And then right next to it, they've got the Alberto's Alfredo's Mexican restaurant. There's a couple here in town that's super popular. That one just opened up out there a little while ago. A couple other restaurants they've got out there. One is right next to the Edge of the World Brewery is Town Square Eatery. This is on the Colorado City side of the border. That I was able to eat at myself, and it was awesome food. They've got some nightlife. They got a new distillery. They've got it's called Short Creek Spirits, and then they've got the Garage Bar. They've got just a lot more centered around the hospitality / all the restaurant scene, right? But one of the biggest things out there is the bigger businesses that have come out of Colorado City, Centennial Park, Hilldale. Has been really impressive, and a few of them built a really nice, beautiful Class A building right as you pull into Hilldale from Apple Valley. Three-story building. They've got five different companies in there. Village Capital, which is one of the biggest mortgage lenders in the whole country, as well as Credzy, which is a credit report company, Plus One call center, and then two others that I'm now drawing blanks on. I can't remember off the top of my head, but they've got more room to fill as well, the space, and it's a beautiful building, and they're really innovative in big thinking out there, and it's really cool because they do know that they're out kind of in the middle of nowhere, you know, but it's more and more, and it's always kind of been an outsider thing, both on the Utah side and the Arizona side, just because they are on the border of each. And anyway, so the community has really gotten into just the renovation of older home sites. The recreation of things out there is really cool. The other cool thing is the LDS Church actually put their first church ever in there, and it's in Colorado City, and that, you know, with the history of the FLDS Church and the LDS Church, it's actually a really cool story of how that came to fruition. So there's just a lot of forward thinking people out there that want to remember a lot of the good of the past, the heritage and everything, and while realizing, you know, kind of some of the things that were not so great, right? And just turning it and making it flourish, and they're doing a fantastic job. It's awesome.
What you're saying is, if you haven't been out to Colorado City Hilldale in 10, 20 years, it's not the same place anymore.
It's not. It's not. And there's a couple of other things in the works. Up Maxwell Canyon, up Maxwell Park, which is up Water Canyon. Mm-hmm. There's a really cool Water Canyon trail up there. If you haven't, if you're into hiking, definitely go check it out. Come back down and have lunch at the winery or Town Square Eatery or one of these. But there's a Maxwell Park up there, and there's some big news coming for that area.
Ooh,
here pretty
tease,
soon.
There's a tease
that I'm not able to talk about just yet, but it will be a draw for both tourists and local residents of the county, and I'm pumped to once I get to announce that one.
All right, 3.5 minutes. We got to spend a little time on Kanab. Tell us about Kanab. What you're doing in Kanab.
Holy cow! Also, just booming. It's hard because it's a much smaller town than your St. George, and so the dynamics of growth are really hard, right? Because it's such a small town, but there's so much demand for the area.
Yeah.
And there's people want to be able to grow up there and stay there, but the pricing of everything has just gone gangbusters because we have been exposed all of Southern Utah to the world, and people with money are not going to stop moving here.
Right.
And so the dynamics are very interesting out there because there's this need for growth, but then there's also, it's like, we want to keep it, right?
Yeah.
But anyway, having said that, there's a lot going on hospitality wise out there. There's a brand new hotel Aro at Ventana, which is a hotel and residences where people can buy a unit, similar to Black Desert, mm-hmm. But on a smaller scale. All kinds of amenities. Really cool place. It's out by Jackson Flats Reservoir. They actually just had the rodeo out at the rodeo grounds there a couple weeks ago, right next to it. Gonna have amazing views. They're just getting construction started on that one, and so that'll be a really big addition to the hospitality in Kanab. There's a couple other projects. Katori Canyon, which is on the west side of town, it's a lot of residential, but they're doing a commercial piece there that'll have some retail, different little shops. And then just in town, you know, you've got State Bank of Southern Utah that's completely tore down their building, redoing that. There's a new Maverick going in. If there's a Maverick, you know that
you're on the map, baby.
Yeah. A couple other hotels. The Spring Hill Suites opened up within the last year. There's another hotel that I don't know the branding yet, just heading out. And then if you are in Kanab or driving to Lake Powell or anywhere in that area, if you're driving down the 89 from Kanab out east, okay. There's a little western spot on the right hand side of the road, and it's called Once Upon a Time in America Museum.
Really?
You would love this, Andy.
Yeah?
You need to go out there.
Okay.
I was blown away. And the only reason I found out about it is because there's a few other resorts happening out in that area, and I went and met with the guys at Iron Rock that are helping do it out there, and they're like, yep, you just turn off right at the west at the new museum. And I'm like, what new museum?
Yeah.
So I go out there. This place, I wish we had more time.
Yeah.
But look it up. Once Upon a Time in America. It also has an 1800s saloon themed barbecue place.
Oh,
in it.
I'm there.
It's called the Smoke Wagon. You have to go.
I will.
It's amazing. They actually opened up last 4th of July. I had no idea. And I went through it. It's amazing. They have one of two Abraham Lincoln top hats that has been forensically
wow.
verified by three government agencies. Guess where the other one is?
D.C.? Somewhere?
The Smithsonian.
Smithsonian, there you
the
go.
The Smithsonian and yeah. Kanab, all right? I'm telling you.
They go together.
I know you enough. Know you well enough. They have a lot of old presidential things, along with old Western stuff,
yeah.
old movie celebrities. It's amazing. The car collection, unbelievable.
Ooh,
so,
wow. All right. Oh,
anyway.
Upon a Time in America.
Yes.
In Kanab.
Yep.
I'm there. All right. McCray, we're out of time, man.
Thanks, Andy.
Thanks for coming on, and appreciate all your videos and everything that you do.
Thank you.
We're out of time. Let's see. It's tomorrow's Thursday. Oh, it's mayor time tomorrow. I think we got the Crestalian going. We'll talk to you then.